everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host, and I almost said Take Two Radio Music because I did that show earlier today. Co-hosting with me is my good buddy, David. Hello, David.
Hi, Pam. How are you doing this evening?
I'm trying to get my shows in my head straight.
Yes. Me too. I guess that's why you have me.
Yeah, that's when you do two shows in a day, and they're two different ones, but they have similar names, sometimes that happens. So I found myself forgetting to say music at the end of the other one, and this one I want to add music to it. So, although maybe our guest will sing to us. What do you think?
I doubt it.
Why don't we ask her?
Okay, tonight we welcome an amazingly talented actress that we all know and love from many different shows. We welcome Marie Cheatham. And how are you, Marie?
I am on top of the world.
Yay. How is it up there?
It's wonderful. The view's great.
Yeah. Is there enough air up there? Because I know, like, the higher you go, the lesser the air or the oxygen.
No, it's just fine. It's just wonderful.
So how was your day today?
You
were you busy?
I was. I went out to audition for Heart of Dixie.
Oh.
And it was fascinating because she was a woman whom I'm very familiar with because I've had several people treat me like this. One of them was my ex-mother-in-law, and she was she's a Southern woman. What role I read for was a Southern woman, sort of like one of the Jefferson women. I was in their the Jefferson Memorial in the cemetery there, near where his house is, and one of the women's tombstones was carved, and it said she was laughter and supple steel.
Oh, my gosh.
Gosh, I thought that's a great thing to say about anybody.
Yeah,
that is.
Wow, so you're just rolling along on show after show after show. That's so good for us because we absolutely love everything that you do.
Oh, thank you very much. I have been very fortunate, very fortunate.
Well, let's go back in time and have you tell us a little bit about why and when and how you knew you wanted to be an actress.
Well, when I was about four, my mother and I were in Lampasas, Texas, or out in the country, and we were on horseback and ranching sheep, which my mother hated, and I didn't like it either. And she said, well, now, sister, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, I'm going to be a famous actress and take you around the world. She said, how in the world would you ever know what that meant? She said, you haven't even been to a movie. And I said, well, then take me to see one. So she did. And it was unfortunate because the hero of the Western got hung at the end. And I cried. I was crying all the way home. And Mother said, if you'll just shut up that crying, I'll take you to see another film. She said, this man lived and he made another film, and I'll take you to see it, but you got to quit that crying.
Yeah.
I thought, that's for me. You never die.
What an experience for the first movie.
All right. I thought, man alive, you can just live forever in movies. So that's okay.
Yeah, that's so true. Even when we're gone. Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, so what? Did you enjoy the second movie?
Oh, who knows? I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was always... Anytime anybody wanted to take me to a movie, I was very happy to go.
Yeah. Well, you've been on a lot of different series, television shows, including four soap operas. Which one that you've done has been your favorite?
Now, you know, that's a very unfair question because
I know, it's very hard.
Well, you can't. The characters have been so diverse. And like on Days of Our Lives, I played a victim. And on Search for Tomorrow, I played a high-toned bitch. And on General Hospital, I became the wacky auntie. Knots Landing, I was the conniving grandmother. And now Nona on Sam and Cat is sort of like an older version of everything else wrapped up. wrapped up together.
She's a lot of fun.
Yeah, she's not very conniving, but she's sort of wacky, you know.
Well, that kind of goes, maybe that's how her granddaughter became that way.
That's what I'm playing. That's certainly what I'm playing.
Yeah. It's definitely a fun show, and it's a cute show, and even though I'm in the adult type category, I still enjoy watching it. There's quite a few shows that I'll watch on Nickelodeon or even on Disney that,
oh, yeah,
you know, normally kids would watch, but I get a kick out of them. Maybe I'm reliving my childhood through that. I don't know.
Well, it also takes a break from carnage and mayhem and blowing up things. I just think it's
Isn't
great.
That the truth? Or reality TV as well.
Yeah. One more dead body on the ground and, you know, and several models trying to solve the crime.
Right.
Or take it the other way, you know, model save the universe, as in all those shows about spy shows.
Right, exactly.
Exactly, sure.
Well, my first go-to is always comedy, you know, when
want
to watch something, because to me, reality kind of blows sometimes, and with all the things that go on in the world, the bad stuff, and you watch the news,
sure,
and you get depressed. Well, you know what? You want to escape from that. And what's better than a soap opera or a comedy?
Oh, absolutely. And besides, the news will do you in faster than anything. So why not just have a little fun?
Most definitely. I even had my husband stop having the newspaper come to our house. I said, I don't want to read this.
You know,
give me the comics.
I found myself yelling at my husband over the breakfast table. And I was yelling at the paper, but he happened to be the only person in the room. And I thought, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. Why am I doing this to this man? He's a very nice man.
Yeah, it's not
so
his
we
fault.
Had to do the same. We did the same. And besides that, honey, if we're at war, somebody will be very happy to tell you.
Isn't that the truth? And now with social media, you find out faster than when you turn your TV on.
Oh, yeah. And if you thought other things would come back to haunt you, just you say something wrong on social media.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I know.
They'll catch
been
you
there.
Yeah, poor old Paula Deen, she's been absolved of all of her sins, and yet social media has really crucified her.
This is so true. This is so true. I've read so many articles and so many tweets about it and different things that sometimes I just roll my eyes and close my Twitter.
Oh, you have to. Insanity. Preserve your sanity at all costs.
Right. I mean, everybody's got an opinion and they have a right to it. And if they want to put it out there, that's all well and good. But you don't have to engage and you don't have to look at it either.
No, and you don't have to be awful. I mean, there's enough of that going around, you know.
Exactly.
I don't hold with that. As my grandmother said, we don't hold with that.
Right.
We don't hold with that.
Do you enjoy social media otherwise?
Well, it's amazing. When I joined Nickelodeon, when I was cast on this show, I had a flip phone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a phone
That's
to
pretty
me,
old.
I know. A phone to me was something that one called one's husband on or one's agent called you if you were out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And that was all I used it for. So fade in, fade out. I was cast on the show and they took me aside and gave me a 2-hour lesson in social media, how to tweet.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
Uh-huh. And I
really?
Figured out. They're serious about this.
Yeah. You
what
think?
What was your first clue? So, and then I figured it out. The Twitter followers are the modern day fans, and that's the modern day fan mail. Now, when I used to be, many years ago under the name of Al Martino, or when I was in New York and under one of those shows, I would go around to my neighborhood, you know, things, and I would take a stack of envelopes with me that had been self-addressed to me at the studio, and there was a piece of paper in them, and I would say to my doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, greengrocer, liquor store, whatever, you know, drugstore, would you please just drop 4 or 5 of these in the mail for me? And, put your return address on, and so they did, and so because the networks, I knew, counted them. They never opened them. They never looked inside them. They just counted them. So I figured, oh, okay, So I made sure that I got a few, you know.
Right.
And now all of this, nowadays the Twitter followers are the fan mail. And so anybody who's listening who tweets, please follow me at Marie Cheatham. But that's two E's with Marie. Yeah, because that's very important. That is the fan mail. And believe me, Nickelodeon looks at it every day and they count them.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. It's,
really?
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they want to know how well their show is doing. And people,
sure,
with their opinions, they put it out there and they make sure they tag the show,
well,
you know, whether it's good or bad. So
not only that, you know, as an individual performer, there is something called the television viewing quotient. That is your popularity guide. And if you wish to raise that, you have to, you know, be a little more prominent in people's minds. And if they, if you have a lot of tweet followers, that means that people are thinking about you and watching you. You know, and so that all is factored in. So if you ever plan to get another job in your entire lifetime, you ought to pay attention.
Right. Good advice for the newcomers to the acting world, too.
Yeah. It's a crazy world out there.
And you know what? Us as fans, it's great that they do have Twitter and Facebook and such, because there's that instant you know, reply back to you when you are asking or talking to the person that you want to talk to. So, you know, you don't have to wait for your mail to come, and God forbid it got lost or it's at the studio in the sack for a while, you know, before it gets to you. So
the nice thing, too, is I really do answer people, and I spend about an hour and a half a day tweeting, and I answer people. And I've seen over and over again that people are very complimentary to the fact that I do respond to fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that fans are the most important thing in the world. Without them, I don't have a job.
Exactly.
So I'm very happy to do whatever I can to make them happy.
That's right. And you know what? It's pretty easy to do when everybody likes you. So, you know, when you only get good things coming to you, then it's pretty easy. But, you know,
well,
go ahead.
One time I was in New York and I was riding the subway and a lady came up to me and she said, is you Stephanie in the stories? And I said, yes, I am. And I smiled. And she hauled back and hit me. I lost my balance. She hit me so
hard.
Oh,
my gosh.
And if somebody hadn't grabbed me, I think I would have gone into the rails. And then I had to learn to say, no, I'm not. But I play that character, and that gets them just enough back into reality that they won't hit you, you know. So then I developed the habit of carrying around cards, you know, with the name and whatever show I'm on and a picture. And you know, and I autograph it because they want something. They want to be noticed, and they want something. So if you put their name on, this is for you, and if you write to me at this address, I'll send you a picture, you know. So that does two things. It gives them something
really
to take away.
It works.
And then it helps me because if they do write, that's fan mail.
Right. And then you show it to the show that you're on and say, see, I'm getting mail.
No, you don't have to show it. They count it as it comes in.
Oh, they count it again.
they count it and give it to me. But fun. And to tell you why they did not open it, well, or how I know they didn't open it, because one time in New York, I was playing The Lady You Love to Hate, Stephanie Wyatt. And somebody wrote lots of fan letters to me and said, I see you leave the studio and I follow you. I know where you live and I'm going to throw acid in your face. So I just took the phone and called the police. Well, I had a writer-producer visiting me at that time, and he had done one of those wonderful cop shows back in the 70s and 80s, and the police came and blah, 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 you know, and I opened this sack of fan mail, you know, a bundle of fan mail, and there were three or four or five of these letters in there. And the studio didn't know they were there because they hadn't opened them. And when the police came, they were so excited to meet this man who had written and produced this wonderful cop show.
No.
That they sort of said, oh, yes, they're there. It'll be all right in the future. Now, listen, about this show.
Oh, my gosh.
And
he
oh,
got
wow.
all swept under the carpet. That's not fair.
I know. I know.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you really do have to be careful with that and take it so seriously. You know, it's not
oh,
so
I
much,
know.
I guess, in, maybe back then, but maybe they didn't
well,
advertise it or publicize it as much.
Well, really back then, because, you know, NBC was right there on the street and anybody could.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, what I got out of that was a chauffeur and a bodyguard. I mean, he was a
oh,
chauffeur
good.
Who was a bodyguard.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's got to be scary. I just can't even imagine. I don't understand how people take that so seriously, like thinking that you're actually that character. Hello, you turn your TV on, you turn your TV off. That person has gone home for the day. They're
no, some
living their
can't.
Normal, regular life. I it just, it, that
no,
always
some
gets
people
to me.
Can't differentiate mm-hmm. between fantasy and reality, though. That's the
right.
That's difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, well, some of them may need some medication, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of soaps, when you did your first soap, what did you learn from it that you've taken with you throughout your career?
Oh, I was so fortunate. Frances Reed and MacDonald Carey were on this show, and it was I was this very green person who had done mostly theater. And to have them as my role models and mentors was the most wonderful education I could have possibly gotten in television because I learned many, many things from them. Number one, hit your mark. Number two, look up into the light to read the lines so that you don't get that overhead light on the brow of your, on your eyebrow and so that that shadows your face.
Yeah.
I was known as the lady who could read the phone book looking up into the light. But mainly it was like basic courtesy of professional people. Be on time. Know your lines. Be kind and soft-spoken in the studio. Do not pull hissy fits because they will come back to haunt you. And a whole bunch of things that are just basic good manners and very nice. You know, just basic even to be even and don't take anything so seriously. After all, this is not the UN is not going to meet on this.
Yeah.
You're going to go home. You're going to wash your dishes and cook your dinner and have a nice time, hopefully with your husband. And,
yeah.
You know, it's just the basic thing. Life, just life goes on. Life is good and goes on.
Do you find yourself passing that on to the younger actors now that you meet up with?
The ones that I think will hear and will listen. Oh,
okay.
The other day, at the General Hospital reunion, which was so wonderful. We'll talk about that later. But
mm-hmm.
I was standing next to a girl who was on General Hospital, and now she's on, I think it's Pretty Little Maids or some other show. But we were talking, and I said, oh, honey, I said, you're so beautiful. I said, don't ever let anybody cut your face. You know,
aww.
Like give you a nip and a tuck. And
mm-hmm.
she said, I have in mind not to let that happen. And I said, that's very, it's so lovely. And our country is so anti-gracefully aging that we don't get a chance to. You know?
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, so, but that was great. But some actresses, some actors, you know, are so full of themselves that it's wonderful to see, you know. So I'm old enough now to know, fine with me, you know, check with me in 5 years.
Right.
Because
when you're sitting there waitressing and looking for another job.
or whatever. But I'm old enough now to know that life has ebbs and flows. And sometimes the most wonderful lessons are learned in those times, really wonderful
right.
lessons. And I'm never so far from the farm that I can't grow my own vegetables.
Yeah. Yeah, you're very down to earth. You can tell that.
Oh, yeah, I am. Farm. Yeah. Yeah. And what does not kill you will make you stronger.
Right.
I follow that one, too.
Now, David, I think you had a question about days.
Yes, I did. Marie?
Yes.
Last night, I was going through YouTube, and I found the very first episode of Days of Our Lives. Oh, my God. And this is before I knew that there were soap operas. So I'm thinking, what did it feel like to you to actually open a soap?
Well, I had no idea. I didn't know what that was. It was just, oh, my God, I have a job.
Yeah.
I was just so thrilled to have a job. I had no idea. Like, when you're doing it, you know, and let me tell you that when we did that show, we were the stepchildren of the industry. It wasn't the isn't she wonderful, she's on a soap. It was, oh, she's on a soap.
Even though we
made money and we paid to carry the news at that time. Now the news is, you know, hot stuff, but not when we began that. We carried the news, and even though we did that, we were just sort of the stepchildren of the industry. There wasn't any big hoo-hoo about us. We were just soap opera.
You're right.
It wasn't a great big deal then. You know, I was just lucky to get a job, I thought. And I was so grateful to have it. Because I had come from Texas. I'd done mostly theater work. I had done one, I think, Ben Casey. That was my Taft-Hartley, they said. You know, when you weren't in the union and you got to do one show that you weren't in the union, but then you had to join the union. So mm-hmm. that was the show I was on. And that was all. And they took a chance on me. Thank you.
I was going to say, we thank them, too.
Them, too.
Thanks. Oh, and you know something? When I went to audition for this this wonderful role on Heart of Dixie, who should be in the room but Michael Lerner was there? Sally Kirkland had come to read for this role, and the fabulous Carol Cook. Now,
oh, wow.
That is good company to be in. And I thought,
I looked around
and I thought, ooh, they're going to find out that I don't know what I'm doing and they're going to kick me out of here. That's how I felt. You know, I felt like, oh, the big girls are here. I hope they don't find out who I am. You know?
Nah, that's not even true.
Well, but you nevertheless, you know, you have...
Yeah.
Insecure feelings, just like everybody else.
Right, exactly.
It's funny.
Wow. Well, I hope you get it. I mean, I'd love to see more of you, but I don't know how you have time to do everything.
Well, we're on hiatus now.
Oh, are you? Okay.
We have a little time off. Now, Ariana has gone out to promote her album, and she's taken, she said, 4 buses on this bus and truck tour, and she's opening for Justin Bieber all across the country. Yeah, until she comes back. So she's all about her music now. I mean, she has a new album come out that she's written the songs for. It's wonderful. She's got a couple of songs that have made the top 10. Both of them made the top 10. So she's in high cotton right now.
Well, maybe I should get her on my music show.
I definitely think you should. Yeah. She's hot
stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll have to listen to some of her music. I'm sure it's great. I mean, she's opening
for
Justin Bieber. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, it's on iTunes.
Oh, it
you know
is
what?
On iTunes?
I'm one of those people that don't have iTunes. Isn't that terrible?
Oh. How do you buy your music?
From Amazon. It's usually if it's on iTunes, it's on Amazon. I just had a bad experience with iTunes on my computer one time and never downloaded it again. So initially, a lot of the music will come out on iTunes and then eventually, you know, maybe a couple weeks later, end up on Amazon, and then I just download it that way.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's easier for me. I'm not afraid to do it then.
Oh, okay.
David, did you have another question?
Yeah, I do. I want to know, what are your fondest memories of Frances Reed and MacDonald Carey?
Oh, well, as I said, they were my wonderful mentors and my teachers. And not only that, Franny became my mom. I was a long way away from any kind of family I had out here, and Franny didn't have any daughters. And so we kind of took to each other, and she became sort of my surrogate. Well, she was certainly my show business mom. And it was just really, you know, nice, a wonderful feeling. And MacDonald Carey wore the nicest cashmere sweaters. And we had these early calls. And you could go up and give him a hug and just bury your nose in that wonderful, soft feeling. And then later on, when I left the show and went to New York and I was on Search for Tomorrow, he used to call me up and read the poetry that he had read, that he had written. And he was a wonderful poet.
He was, I remember.
And he'd call me up and read to me. Sometimes he'd forget the time change.
Oh, no.
That made it difficult, but I was just so glad to hear from him. I didn't care.
David, did you ever read any of his poetry?
I remember watching Days a lot, and I remember he used to recite on the show, I think around Christmas time, on some of the Christmas episodes, and I think he did one for Francis, I think a special one for Francis.
Well, yeah, but he was a wonderful poet. He was just terrific. And, you know, you've asked me, one of these questions was about what was the difference in working for a half-hour drama compared to an hour drama.
Yes.
And the big difference is if it's taped or filmed. And now, because of the change in the cameras, all the cameras have gone to these high-definition cameras. And it depends on if they're using one camera or four or two or three. Because it can, if you're doing one camera setup, like a film, you have to take everything from one point of view, and then you have to turn it around to look over the shoulder of the person they have just shot. So does that make sense? So they can see.
Yeah, they have
the
other camera around. Mm-hmm.
So it depends on what medium you're working in, so that you can, you don't know. It takes a long time to do a one-camera show because it's all that setup and move the camera and take the shot from another angle. So if you have two or three or four cameras, then you can just put them around and then you shoot it and it isn't so bad. Then they edit it all together. But it's how to keep your sanity on the set. There's that to learn, too.
Yeah, with more than one camera. I mean,
I
guess over the years you learn how to work with that, but I'm just picturing in my head, what camera am I supposed to be looking at now?
The one with the light.
The one with the light, that's always
the one with the light, and you look up and you find the person, and I always, when I start a show, I always go over and say, hello, my name is Marie Cheatham, it's so wonderful to meet you, because I don't know these camera people sometimes, so they stay on the show a long time. So it's important to go over and meet them, and, and so that you can know their names, and so you can hear so-and-so, go over here and do this, and you can sort of listen, and you know what's being said so that what you can compensate, make the director's life a little easier.
Right, exactly, and I'm sure the directors appreciate that.
Yes, yeah, they do, yeah.
That's
and,
why you keep going back. You keep getting called back because they all love you, see? I told you.
Really, that's really quite something to learn, and that in the lighting, you have to get into a position so that you're not blocking another actor's shot, a camera shot of another actor, or their light. So you have to be conscious of a whole lot of things at the same time.
Wow, you must be great at multitasking then.
I'm a Gemini. Yes, we came in that way.
Oh, there you go. The split personality. You just put one personality over there and one over there, and you get it all done.
Please don't limit me to just two.
Okay.
You know, my hairdresser in New York used to say, now which one of these 25 women are we doing today?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I have to say that my favorite part of the soaps, because I didn't watch all of them, but I watched you in a couple of them, was, of course, Aunt Charlene on General Hospital.
Oh, wasn't that fun?
You were so funny. Oh, my gosh. And I just loved your relationship with Lucy. What did you think of that relationship? And,
it was
fabulous.
Course,
the real actress.
Yeah, well, she's wonderful. My character relationship was, you know, I was trying to control her, and she wouldn't be controlled. And it's wonderful to play against that. It's just really hot stuff to play against all of that. And she's so great, and talk about grounded. She's a very, very down-to-earth person. And I was so glad, because sometimes some people, you know, some people aren't. And it's, some people take themselves very seriously, and she sort of didn't. And then when she had her boys, and she and her husband stopped acting for a while, and they have a ranch, and they started ranching. And I just thought that was great, because those are my roots and certainly where I come from. And I just thought that was all wonderful. But I think that Nona, the character I'm playing now, I think she's just an extension of Aunt Charlene.
I know, right?
I think she's just an older version of Aunt Charlene. And she's just very, she's a little distracted. She's sort of like amused by every shiny object. And so that's the reason I think I can get away with being so, the character being so ditzy, is that fact, genuinely she gets distracted by the new thing.
Yeah.
The new thing. Yeah.
Well, I have to say, some of the parts that I watched, and I mentioned to you that I was going to ask you about, is when you're dumped out of the bag on the couch, out of a potato sack, you close Sam up in the couch and all in the bed while they're sleeping, and you're sleepwalking, playing Twister in the elderly home, ceiling fan falls on you. I mean, you have so many things going on. And I have to know, are you doing your own stunts?
I do most of them. I did I've sort of equated this role. I used to say, this role is sort of like the coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons. You know, everything happens to him, and he gets up and dusts himself off and goes on. But I think it's really Lucille Ball for the younger set.
Oh, and she's all-time favorite comedian. Well,
don't
was,
you think?
But,
yeah.
I can see it.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Definitely.
And I do most of my own stunts. I'm in the gym. I'm in training. And the stunt coordinator on our show, Vince Dedrick, is the best, the absolute best. And he and I worked together many, many years ago, and we still can't remember which show it was on. But we know each other. And he is really always aware of my body condition and whether, you know, my energy level and whether I'm up to it or not. And so he said, do you think you want to try this? And he said, I've got the stunt. I've got the double right here. And I said, no, let me try. So I was wheeled in that shopping cart and I stood up and tumbled onto the couch, tumbled onto the floor. And they let me out, you know, they helped me get out of the bag, and I did that. That was terrific for the first about 8 takes.
Yeah.
And when it got to be about 15, 16 takes, you think, this may not have been such a good idea. I was
right.
For a week. And I did the folding one of the girls up into the sofa bed, but when it was two girls, Vince insisted on doubling me because he said it's too much for you to lift. So I let him do that. But
I like that. They showed, I think it was one of the videos I was watching, where they showed how they actually did that. They cut the holes in the back of the couch. Because I always wondered how they did that without squishing somebody on the inside.
I know it.
Yeah, it's my favorite thing. You know, I love this business. I love everything about it. I love walking onto a studio lot to go to the audition. I don't very much like, you know, the butterflies in the stomach when you're reading and you, you know, you burble a few words, but I love being near the prop shop where they're building things. And I came in to the theater on the costume deck because I could sew. So everybody quickly finds out what you can do, and they put you to work. I just love everything about our business. I just love it. I love being around it. And to see how they cut the back out of that sofa, and very carefully they would fold those girls into it so they wouldn't, you know, get pinched or be hurt or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the easy, and to do it, those girls, my goodness, they have my admiration because they do their own stunts, most of their own stunts, and it's really hard. You know, it's hard physically, and they really do have to be agile and in shape.
Yeah.
And they're the nicest girls to work with. They
well,
really
and
are.
You know, the thing is, it doesn't really matter how old you are if you have to do it take after take after take after take, you know.
Yes. I invite anybody to do it and try it.
No, that's why you do it and I don't.
I've had a career. I've been working in show business for 50 years. 50
oh
years. I couldn't believe it. I counted it up the other day and I thought, that can't be right. And I saw Carol Cook today, and she said, I still think of you as an ingenue. Sweet. My gosh.
And you know what? You really don't even look much further than 50, so that says a lot.
I don't.
Oh, how nice of you. Can I
that
adopt
really
you?
That really surprises me that you said 50
yes,
years
now. Yes,
you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been working 50 years. 50.
Wow.
50. Yeah. I started
it's all
that
good, healthy living and growing your own vegetables.
Yeah, let's hope. Yeah. And all the mistakes I made didn't show up on my face either.
No.
Thank you, God.
Oh, my gosh, you are too funny. Well, when I hit on some of the movies that you've done, you've been in Beetlejuice, A Night at the Roxbury, The Wedding Singer, as well as others. And, of course, those are all great comedies that people still watch to this day. When you got the parts and you did the movies, did you ever think that they would become so popular that they would, you know, people would still want to view them to this day and actually do quotes and dances from them?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact. And just like Days of Our Lives, I didn't know we were making iconic movies. In fact, Robert Goulet and I thought we were in a stinker when we made Beetlejuice because we had we'd seen the prosthetics, and we didn't know that it was a joke. Nobody told us. Nobody ever tells the actor anything. So we thought, oh, well, this is just a stinker. We ought to just have as much fun as we can. So we did. We played guessing games on the set, and he would do something like he'd smoke a cigar and he'd leave the butt of that cigar for me to find, and then I'd find it and put it back where he could find it. And the time that we did the when we rise up, I played his wife, and we were supposed to, Beetlejuice comes and he bangs the thing in me, and we go through the ceiling. And I had flown before. That's being put in a harness and, being jerked up 6 feet. And then they transfer you out, and then they put a dummy in, and then they jerk the dummy through the roof. Well, he had never flown before. So I went out, and I got some feminine napkins.
No.
And put them in a brown paper bag. And I came, knocked on his dressing room door, and I said, you're going to need these. And he looked inside, and he said, what in the world are you, how awful of you, what are you talking about? And I said, honey, you have never been jerked up 6 feet in a harness before. And where do you think the center of gravity is if you've got a harness around? It's in your groin, you know. So Robert Goulet came over to me after we had done the scene where we're, you know, lifted 6 feet off the air very quickly. He came over to me and he said, "Cheatham, I just want to tell you thank you."
Oh, God. That's funny.
Oh, it's terrible. You know, and I always take my knitting everywhere I go. You know, I'm always in the corner knitting because if I keep my hands busy, my mouth stays shut. And that's very important on a set, to be quiet.
Right.
So I'm always knitting over in the corner, and he put that nasty old cigar in my knitting bag even.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What did you do to him?
It was just great. Oh, gosh, it was wonderful. And we had no idea. See, we don't know. When you're making a film, you have no idea if it's going to be a hit or a stinker.
Mm-hmm.
No, you have no idea at all. And so whatever you can do to, you know, make life pleasant and interesting while you're there is what you do.
That is just too funny. My gosh,
yeah.
I can't even imagine being on a set with you. I would be laughing so hard, I'd probably never be able to get my lines out.
I couldn't keep it to myself either.
Right?
It's great.
I bet even the camera guys and that, you know, anybody that was around was laughing their heads off too.
It's a good one. It's a good one. Here's a question here I love so much. Is there somebody I wanted to work with and never got the chance? You know, I paid homage to Maggie Smith today because I probably will never get the chance to work with her. And I just adore her. I mean, I really am passionate about how much I love Maggie Smith and Judy Dench.
She's a great actress.
Oh,
yeah.
My goodness.
And
the character I read today was kind of arch and acerbic. And in Downton Abbey, I think Maggie Smith just wins the awards for doing that. You know, she just flat out can cut a person off at the knees, and you feel as if you've been invited to tea. But I did that. I played that kind of character today, and I was so happy to do it. And I thought, nobody's going to know that I'm, you know, doing her or anything.
Doing Maggie, right?
Yeah, well, and even if you're doing somebody, you know, it's Marie Cheatham playing Maggie
of
Smith.
Course.
It's always going to look like Marie Cheatham. But
right.
But that's one of the people that I would really love to work with. Well, it would scare me to death.
Yeah.
I'd be very intimidated.
Really?
Oh,
no.
Sure.
Oh,
listen, actors are just regular people with
makeup. Yeah, you have
your
heroes and the ones you adore and aspire to and stuff like
that.
Yeah,
and we get insecure and everything else. It's just that we're wearing more makeup than most people.
Yeah.
That's
well,
a good,
here's
nice
a question
word.
For you about makeup. I mean, throughout the years, you've worn a lot of makeup for all these different shows.
Uh-huh.
What did you learn about, you know, taking care of your face? Do you take
wash
your makeup off as soon as you're done, or what do you
yeah,
do?
Yeah, as soon as you can get home and get that makeup off. I never take it off at the studio because I'd like to leave, you know, looking like the character. But I get home, first thing I do is off come the eyelashes. If I'm wearing a wig, off comes the wig. Clean that skin. Never go to bed with your makeup on. Never, 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 never go to bed with your makeup on.
Yeah.
Ever. Because your skin is, you know, my mother, oh my goodness, my mother wouldn't let me drive home with anybody from college. She said, "Your face is your fortune." I had to always take the bus. I mean, the Greyhound bus, for heaven's sakes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. She said, "Nope, your face is your fortune," and because I told her I was going to be an actress, your face is your fortune, and you. And I thought, I better just shut up and do this because,
yeah.
You know, I want to keep good faith in the family, and being an actress wasn't very popular back then either.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to open a bank account in Dallas, Texas. And they wouldn't let me open a bank because I was an actress. And I went to the... That's right. I went to the president of the bank, and I said, I am a member of this community in good standing. I have a job over here at the Dallas Theater Center. I'd like to open it. No, we won't have your account here. Why not? But you're an actress. I said, okay. So many years, fade in, fade out. I came back from New York, and I went over to the same bank manager. And I said, my name is Marie Cheatham, and I'm on Blah Blah Show, and how do you do? Lovely to know you. And I said, many years ago, you wouldn't let me open a bank account here. And I said, I'd like to open one. And I said, aren't you sorry you didn't do that? And he said, no.
Oh, my God.
We are not so far away from actors and Irish people not allowed, you know?
That's horrible. But I'm glad you called them out on it.
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
It's just awful.
I would have opened the account and then taken my money out the next day.
Yeah. It's very strange. Very strange. And it's an interesting thing, you know, for people who will treat you one way when you're... you know, when you're not so well known, and then when you are well known, we'll want to treat you another way.
Right. I can't help but think of Pretty Woman, the movie, you know.
Yeah. But it's wonderful. And, you know, if you're lucky if you have a few friends that you've had, say, for 30, 40 years, you know, when you get older. I'm very lucky. I have very few of them. The numbers are diminishing now, but I have had very few friends that have stayed in my life for a long, long time. But I think I've got more than most, because whenever you get into my life, you have to pay to get out.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about idle hands. So as long as you keep working, you know, and it helps with your memory too. And even if you're not an actress, you know, they say to always read and do crossword puzzles and keep yourself busy.
Oh, there's a great thing on
working.
There's a great thing on the internet now. You can train your brain. They have puzzles and things that you can do to train your brain to be active. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you read a lot?
I do.
Great. You know, I think that's very important.
I do. And it's funny because my dad used to always tell us, you know, to read. I have a brother and a sister, and it was constantly on us, you know, read a book, read a book, read a book, read a book. And as a kid, you don't want to hear that. You know, you just got home from school.
Yeah.
Who wants to read a book? You know, how is that enjoyable? And then when I got into high school, I was a freshman, and one of my friends gave me a book, and she says, you have to read this. It's so good. And I looked at that book, and I remember it was probably close to 1,000 pages. And it was called Once in a Lifetime. The author, Suzanne something. But they made it into a movie, because I eventually saw the movie, too. But I read that book. It took me a little while, but I read it. And from that day forward, I never stopped reading.
Oh, wonderful. I think it's just the best, you know. I think it saved my life as a kid.
Yeah. And I tried to teach my kids the same thing. There was a couple of them that took it up, but the other two didn't. I have four kids, so two out of four ain't bad, I guess.
I remember reading about King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, and I was out in the country living way out in the country near Lampasas, and when I finished the book, I was so sad because all of my friends were gone. I started it over. I couldn't stand it. I started over.
You know, that's one thing that I can't do is reread a book.
No kidding.
Because I know what's happening, and I just can't reread it. So, you know, even years later, you think, oh, you probably forgot half of it. But years later, I'll pick up a book, and I'll start reading it. I'm like, oh, I remember what happened.
Yeah, I know. You don't want to go back and...
And that's why I have a million books.
I'm very fond of English mysteries like Midsummer Murders and things of that nature. And I have such a mind like a sieve, I sometimes forget what happens. And when I watch it, it's like forgotten who killed him, you know.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think that has part of it to do with you playing different roles, too. You know, you have to get rid of that stuff out of your mind to learn the new stuff.
Now, that's very true, because I learned to script a night, and, yes, we had to, I can push things out of my mind very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, how did you handle learning how to do scripts, especially on the soap, you know,
many pages. Yeah, well, the best place to do it, I've learned, is in the bathtub. Because nobody can get to you. You know, nobody needs anything from you. I'm in the bathtub.
The
dog. No. Nothing. So I did that. But what I learned to do is just very logical. I would read through the scene, and I would get the gist of how it went. And then I would read through it again. And that read would tell me the thought patterns that went. How does this follow this? This follows this. This follows this. So mm-hmm. if it's a logical script, and the thought processes are coherent and it all hangs together, that's a very easy script to learn. It's when you have non sequiturs, when things happen that don't necessarily follow the thought pattern,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then you have to hang it on the blocking.
Oh.
If I walk up, and very quickly in soaps, you forget to, you just stop saying, "What's my motivation?" You know, what's my motivation to move over here? I always thought that theater actors, you know, were God, what a luxury to have all that time to figure out how you wanted to play a scene instead of
right?
just being forced into playing something before you even quite know what it means, you know. And like in this Heart of Dixie, when you're doing something like Southern, especially that kind of Southern, when it's being written by a Southern woman who understands the rhythm of Southern speech,
mm-hmm.
For me, it's easier to, sometimes it can seem like a mouthful, but for me, it's easier to say the things out loud until I can establish the rhythm of what is being said.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can get that, if I can nail the rhythm, I can rattle it off. But until I do that, I'm stuck for a joke sometimes. It's hard.
Well, when I think of Southern and the things that I've watched, Dixie Carter always comes to my mind.
Oh, yes. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and Designing Women was one of the greatest shows on TV.
Wasn't that wonderful? That was a good show. And see, they didn't know they were making an iconic show. You don't know you're making an icon until
right.
the paint is dry. Until the paint
so
is dry.
True. Yeah. And then the shows that you think are going to do well, they pull them after 5 episodes. Well, recently, I should say after 1 or 2 episodes, that just astounds
yeah.
me. How do you know it's going to be good if I've only seen 1 episode?
Well, they don't give
it a chance. They pull
it. Yeah, and they have so many of these derivative shows, you know, this show is like the other one, like the sequel of the
right.
other one, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
They don't give a show a chance anymore. To
right.
mature,
no.
you know.
They don't. Sometimes.
For the paint to dry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there was a couple of shows over the fall that I got into watching, and I only got to see, I think, 2 or 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to turn it on the following week, and it's not on. I'm like, what's going on? So I get on Twitter, and then I see these, you know, the electronic newspapers or whatever that I follow, you know, putting them out and saying, well, such and such show was canceled. I'm like, how? What? You know?
Oh, what a shame.
I know.
And that makes me
I'd
insane.
I'd like to know where they get the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Beg your pardon?
I'd like to know how they get the numbers so quickly
That's
before
bad.
They even go out.
Well, it beats me. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know how they do that. I think it's premature in a lot of times.
I think so, too. And that's I also love the fact that nowadays, if we as fans really, really love something, we can
yeah.
fight for it and get things
yeah.
back on TV, which would be All My Children, One Life to Live. They're not on TV. They're online, but they're back. And then also Drop Dead Diva. They canceled that, and oh, my gosh, the uproar. And now
that's
it's back
great.
Again.
Well, I wish they had. I wish they would have done that with Search for Tomorrow.
Amen.
Boy, I loved playing that one.
Now, that one I didn't see, but David watched that one. So you were a not nice girl in that one?
Yeah, I was. I was a high-toned bitch in that, yes.
No.
I was the lady you loved to hate, as my mother said. Be nice, be nice, be nice.
Loved every minute of her.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, she did all the wrong things, but for the right reasons.
Yeah. I came in, it was 1978, I think I was starting, I started watching. 78, 79.
You'll have to tell me what was going on because I'm lousy at numbers like that.
You are?
Yeah, cannot remember, you know, I can tell you what the air smelled like the day I buried my father, but I cannot tell you what year it was.
Okay. Well, I know you had a history with Mary Stewart's character.
Oh, yeah. I was hired to be her nemesis, you know. And I said, oh, my gosh, what's she like? You know, because some people can get their feathers ruffled. And they said, well, she's kind of prickly, so I have to do something to make her laugh. And so New York was really cold, really cold. And I came from California in the middle of winter. And I wore, because my feet were always freezing in this soundstage, I wore these big fluffy slippers all the time because I was freezing to death.
Mm-hmm.
And I went by Mary Stewart's dressing room one time, and she looked at me and she said, oh, this is our sex symbol. And I thought, oh, good, she's not going to yell at me. It's fine.
Yeah.
This is our sex symbol.
Mm. Oh, my gosh, that's so funny.
It is, isn't it? I was afraid I wouldn't have anything to say. And look, we've been talking a long time.
I know. Look. She goes, and Mary went back and forth.
Right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed that. And thankfully we have YouTube, so maybe I can catch some episodes. David's good at finding things that I want to watch.
Oh, yeah.
You have to watch this, Pam.
Oh, and I wanted to say thank you to all of the General Hospital fans who came recently for the past cast. I thought, well, you know, past cast, who's going to care about that? And I went, and oh, my goodness, there were so many people there, and I took a picture of them all going, yay, when a character came out. And I posted it on Facebook because I was just astounded. Everybody was so wonderful.
Oh, and David was there, the lucky dog. He got to meet you.
Really?
I was there. I got to meet you.
How wonderful. I wish I knew what you looked like. I'd say hello. You know, I must have met 300 people that day. It was a lot.
But I was the one who told you how much I missed Stephanie Wyatt.
Oh, did I hug your neck?
Almost.
Well, consider a virtual hug.
Yeah.
I miss her every day.
Oh, thank you. Well, she was a hoot to play, I'll tell you.
Yes, she was. She was a lot of fun.
She was, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and he came back and he was telling stories about being there and who he saw, and he says, we have to get Marie on our show.
Well,
she's in a new
funny.
Show. She's in Sam and Cat, and that was it. We were both off and running looking at Sam and Cat and finding out what's going on, and now here you are.
That's very, very kind of you. I really appreciate it.
Yes.
And you're doing such a wonderful service. You know, if you didn't do this, people wouldn't get to really hear, you know, the ins and outs and the nuts and bolts of people. And you're doing a wonderful service. And thank you very much.
Thank you. I mean, without you saying yes, we wouldn't have a show to do, and David would just be talking to each other.
No,
which
no,
we've
no,
done
that.
Before.
No, I've looked at some
before,
of the people
yeah.
you've had on your show, and you had Mr. Mm-hmm. Arkin, for heaven's sakes. And
yes.
Wonderful
yes.
people. Yeah.
Yeah, he was wonderful, and his book is right now going to press and getting it out there. He had a Kickstarter funding for it, and it was a huge success. So, and it's going to be a part of a series, I should say.
Fabulous.
So I'm looking forward to getting my copy and seeing what the next, you know, book brings, because, as we said, we're readers.
That's great.
Yeah. And it's a suspense book, so you may even like it.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah, that's what he said.
Maybe I should tweet you the link. You can read the first 5 chapters for free.
Oh,
and I'll
wonderful.
Tell you what, if you read that, you're going to be hooked.
How great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Well, our
welcome.
Hour has flown by. I cannot believe that we're already done with an hour, and I don't want to keep you any longer. I know you've had a busy day, and I just absolutely thank you from my heart, both of us, David and I both, for joining us tonight.
That's very kind of you, and I so appreciate being asked.
You're very welcome.
I was going to do it when I met you at GH event.
Uh-huh.
I was going to see if I was going to be brave enough, and I could say, would you like to be on our show? We can help promote Salmon Cat for you.
Absolutely.
And I say, I don't know how people, you know, I don't know how you're supposed to approach people like that. I don't want to be the type to turn you off. But
well, that
if
can
I
be
came up,
kind of tricky, especially in that kind of venue where there are so many people, and they had it organized so well so that you didn't get that very much time with any one person. You had to sort of like, you know, keep passing the people by. So, you know, they had it organized pretty well, but that's hard. I can understand that.
And now one question before you go, as far as the GH Past Cast fan thing event, who were you the most excited to see?
Well, I'll tell you, Michael Coe. Michael Coe and I had worked together in Mexico. We did a film together in Mexico. And it was really, really wonderful to see him looking so well, because he came back and he was not, you know, sometimes in Mexico you can get a little bug or something. And so I was kind of worried about him. And he just looked great. His wife was there.
Pretty good.
It was wonderful.
It's funny that you mentioned him, because David was very excited to also see him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I grew up watching him.
Well, sure.
As a kid.
That was like one of the second people that he mentioned to me. Well, guess what? I did see Michael Coe. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And guess what? My brand new agent, Gloria Hinojosa, when I went to meet them, because my other agent closed her doors and retired, and, you know, I stick with people until they sort of fall over or retire. I don't change agents very often or very easily. So I went to meet her, and I was a little trepidatious about it. And she walked in, and she said, oh, I watched you all the time I was going to college. She said, I organized my classes around when your show was going to be on.
Wonderful. So she kind of knows your history.
Yeah. And, you know, doing soaps or doing these shows, it's like being in the biggest family in the world. You can be in Florence, Italy, looking at the backside of the David, which I was, and hear someone say, aren't you Stephanie on Search for Tomorrow, or aren't you Aunt Charlene, or, you know, or oh-ho-ho, then you talk to them, and it's like being, it's like having a member of your family sitting there talking to you, because they've seen you every day.
Right. Yeah,
and
we're fans for life, too.
This is true, and I'm so grateful, and that's another thing I was very astounded by, that fan gathering. But it's rather like having the biggest family in the whole wide world.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you wanted a big family, then you're in luck.
Then you're in luck. Exactly.
Well,
it has been
we'll let you go, Marie, and we want you to enjoy the rest of your evening. And we'll keep in touch on Twitter and also watch you on
and
Sam and Cat, and then hopefully on the Heart of Dixie.
Thank you. And please tell everybody you know to follow me, Marie,
I will.
At Marie Cheatham. Okay.
I will. I've posted it on our Facebook and mentioned it to other people, but we'll go ahead and tweet it, you know, maybe every other day and get you some more Twitter followers.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so very much.
You're
just
welcome.
So beautiful.
Talk to you later.
You're welcome. Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Take
bye-bye.
Care, Marie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Oh, my gosh. It was wonderful,
oh
David. I'm so glad that you got to see her and, you know, tell me about it, and we got her on the show. I mean, reliving, you know, all the memories with her and making new memories and everything, it's just, wow. I love her, and she's so funny.
She was. Oh, my God, did you that scene with Robert Goulet?
I know.
Now I got to go find it. Oh, that's probably outtakes. That was Beetlejuice, right? They were in Beetlejuice?
Yeah, but I, you know, that's something she did behind the camera. That's not something she did in front of the camera.
Oh, shoot, that should have been posted.
Can you imagine? My gosh.
Oh, my God.
You know, because you picture Robert Goulet, so, you know, suave and debonair, and then here she is handing him over ladies' things. I could just picture his face.
Oh, I know. I can imagine him saying that to her. He said, I can't do it now.
And you have to think about the time span, because Beetlejuice is, you know, many years old. And, you know, ladies' things were not even, I think, promoted that much on TV as they are now. And so, you know, because it was kind of a thing that only, of course, women spoke about. And, and then she gives it to him. Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. So I had a great time. Thank you, David, for suggesting Marie.
Oh, I'm glad she worked out.
Oh,
I was hoping. I was hoping for it. And didn't she? I loved how we made the connection, how I met her, and how much she appreciated that I already had met her, and how we brought her here.
Right.
She really appreciated that part of it.
Yeah, she's good to her fans. You can tell that she, you know, appreciates it, and we appreciate her, and God bless her for working all these years, and I look forward to many more. No matter what she's on, we'll be there watching.
Yeah, and she does not look like she's in her mid-60s.
No, no, she doesn't. She looks wonderful. I mean, I hope and pray when I'm her age, which I'm not even going to say how old I am, that I age as well as she has.
I think you will.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. So if we have any listeners left now that our guest has left and me and David are just talking, we'd like to let you know that tomorrow we'll be back at 7 p.m. Eastern Time with John Wesley Shipp. And most of you may remember him from one soap or another that he's done. He's done quite a few of them, like Marie has. He was on All My Children. He was on One Life to Live. He was on Guiding Light. And was it As the World Turns? Santa Barbara?
Yep. Santa Barbara.
I mean, my gosh, he's just basically hit them all except for General Hospital and the ones, Young and the Restless and Bold and Beautiful. I think those are the only ones left, right, as far as him not being on?
That's the only one, but he was on Dawson's.
Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Flash.
Yep. A lot of people remember him as the Flash. I see that quite often. A lot of people on his Facebook talking to him about the Flash.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's done a lot of things and a lot of series, and he's got a couple of things coming up, and we'll be able to talk to him about that tomorrow. So I hope you will join us at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And David will be with me again.
Yes, I will. I shall be with you. I will be with.
Yep. And as always, we'll have a good time. As I spoke to John on the phone, and let me tell you, I laughed and laughed and laughed. He's just another one that's very funny. So I have a feeling we're going to have a really good time tomorrow, too, with laughing.
And he can sing, too.
Oh, he can sing?
Mm-hmm. He was noted to sing on Guiding Light in his younger days, yes.
Really?
You
now you're going to have to get me some of those YouTubes, because I want to see that.
All right, you know what one? Do you know what one he sang on Guiding Light? It was one of Anne Murray's. You remember Anne Murray's?
Yes, uh-huh.
Remember Which You one? Needed Me?
Oh, yeah, one of my favorites.
Emily. Well, he did that as a duet with his on-screen girlfriend, Kristen Bigard.
Oh, wow. You'll have to find that. I want to watch that.
Yep.
Because you know me, I can't find them when I'm looking for them, so I count on you to be the detective for me.
And do you want to know while talking about Kristen Bigard and while I was getting Marie on Facebook, Kristen is one of Marie's friends on Facebook.
Ah.
Isn't that something? Maybe.
Yeah. It's a small, small world, David.
It is.
Yeah. Also, for our listeners, be sure to follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you an email each and every time we have a show scheduled so you don't miss any. And you're always more than welcome to call in and speak with our guests. I know a lot of people don't like to do that because they're shy or they don't know what to say, but you know, they're very, very personable people. They're very down to earth, and they love to talk to their fans. So anytime you want to call in, please do. The phone number is 1-718-506-1540, and just press the number 1 so that way we know we have to pick up your phone line, because if you don't press the number 1, we'll just leave you hanging there thinking you just want to listen to the show and not speak to the guests.
Yeah, I know.
Also, follow us on Twitter at Take Two Radio with the number 2, and follow David and my other co-host Sabina at Take Two Radio Crew, and check out our website at Take Two Radio. We have upcoming guests, previous podcasts, and actors' other gigs, you know, like Susan Lucci, everybody knows from All My Children. Well, she's on Devious Maids. I have that on there. I have the pilot episode on there. Rebecca Budig, who was Greenlee on All My Children, is in a movie with Selena Gomez and Ethan Hawke called The Getaway. That's on there along with the trailer. And I'm trying to think who else. Oh, Bobby Eakes and her husband are in a movie. Oh, my gosh. Ray Ray, it's called. And I have that on there. So, I mean, just poke around and look around. I have the All My Children and One Life to Live episodes on there. I have to go on there tonight later on and put on this week's. But they're all on there. And there's different things, so just, you know, check it out. I'm sure you'll find something you want to listen to or watch. And then also you can listen to the previous podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. And Stitcher is a mobile app that you can download to any of your devices, mobile devices, and listen to it. And those are both for free as well. Have I missed anything, David?
No, I don't, can't think of anything. I think you covered it.
Okay, good. Thank you. Usually you got to point something out to me, but I think I did it this time. Yay, me.
Yeah. Score 1 for host.
Yeah. So So thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. We sure had a blast, and I hope you did, too, listening to Marie, and join us again tomorrow. Thanks, David, again, as always, for being here with me, and we'll meet up again tomorrow as well. So everybody have a good night, and God bless.
God bless everyone.
Good night, David.
Good night, Pam.